It is time for our sit-in this week, and this week's sit-in is brought to you by Omaha's Water Store, pure, clean drinking water to help build your immunities, bring you more energy, handle stress, help balance your body's pH, all of that. Yeah, just north of 103rd and Fort, they have a free gallon of water waiting for you. Just tell them Boomer Radio sent you in. Well, I kind of feel underdressed for this Boomer sit-in today. Just a wee bit. It's Marianne Vaccaro, fashion designer and award-winning fashion designer. And kind of, I think it's safe to say you've been all over the world.
Not all over the world, but I've been to places I wanted to be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's quite a story you tell. I don't think an hour is going to be enough, but I think we need to at least get in as much of your story as we can. Now, for those who don't know you, when we say fashion designer, what does that entail?
Well, I wanted to design clothes from the time I was a child. And being a designer, some people think it's just like sitting and drawing and coming up with ideas. But to be a full-scale designer, you have to know how to make the garment, because a lot of the inspiration comes through working and making it, and it makes for changes. So I designed the clothes, the pattern work, the sewing, and all those kinds of things. But I had a team of 8 girls who worked for me full-time, from the early 80s all the way up until not long ago, because we produced thousands and thousands of garments a year. I figured I have like 40,000 original patterns.
Wow.
I do, because, you know, each person's body is different, and, sure, and the style changes for each one of the people you do, because when you do custom, you do it pretty much according to the body you're working with, mm-hmm, and the type of person that it is. So that's what I did. Now I represent 2 companies that I sell for.
Yeah.
And
you go ahead. What are the names of the companies?
Oh, well, one is Carlisle, New York, and they produce a beautiful line of women's clothing that I'm comfortable selling. It's not what my custom was, but I won't do anything, yeah, I'm not custom. I won't do anything that isn't the level. The level that, yeah, I want it to be for, mm-hmm, my customer.
Right, right.
And I also represent Frieda Rothman Jewelry out of New York. And Frieda Rothman is an amazing designer. She's an artist first. Mm-hmm. And the works that she creates are beautiful, unique, and, mm-hmm, at a value price for, yeah, being real jewelry.
Yeah.
So it's anything to make a woman look more beautiful is, mm-hmm, what I care about, because I was this ugly dumpling of a kid who lived in a dream world of what I would look like when I grew up. And, uh-huh, I want to do for others,
yeah, yeah,
according to what I always felt.
Are you designing now? Any?
I design some things for myself and a few things for private customers.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, once you're into design, everything you do is design, including, yeah, like sitting in the room you're in and mm-hmm, analyzing what you might change about that.
What was your first sewing machine?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, my grandmother's. My grandmother's.
There you go.
Yeah, my grandmother's old treadle machine. I learned that when I was a child. My grandmother made my clothes for me. She let me start designing my own clothes when I was 5 years old.
Uh-huh.
And I got to do my first dress for kindergarten, and she made it for me.
Yeah.
You know, so and it was the encouragement that I got from my parents and my grandparents, mm-hmm, that brought me to the point of wanting to do it better. It was a pleasing kind of,
yeah,
thing, and
that
made me happy too.
Siblings? Any siblings?
My brother, Frankie Payne, and my sister is Linda Holcomb. And I have one sister who passed away very young of pancreatic,
yeah,
cancer.
Oh,
my,
okay,
sister Imelda Bartolome.
So where are you in the family tree?
I'm the oldest.
Oh, the oldest. Okay.
I'm the leader of the pack, yeah. Speaking of songs.
What did mom do?
My mom was a housewife and, mm-hmm, and a mother and an exceptional one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And dad, what did dad do?
Well, my father was a tenor. His voice was absolutely exceptional. And he was groomed and everything for Hollywood. And when he was in his, but he was legally blind, which was an extreme hardship. And he was in California, and he was signing contracts with the movie agencies. And my grandfather here in Omaha died unexpectedly. My grandmother was Italian from Italy. My father came back thinking it was temporary to be with my grandmother.
Right,
but,
right,
you know, it's like,
he never,
if you're
he
not
never,
there,
he,
it's out of sight, out of mind. People move on.
Didn't make it back, but he
sang for everything. I cannot tell you how many weddings and bar mitzvahs I have been to.
What?
I can't, you know, because, you see, we would take my father because he was legally blind. So It's like I'd walk him up the steps in choir loss, but I always knew his voice. He sang at a church once where they asked him, please not to sing anymore because too many people who were not parishioners.
He had a following. Groupies.
So, you know, and he taught me. My father taught me to appreciate music, taught me to be passionate about music. He taught me what to listen to know the qualities of a singer, and to sense the passion in a guitar player and how he played. So I love music. That's all I can say.
So what was your dad's first name?
Frank.
Did ever record? Did he ever record?
Oh, all kinds of records. Yeah, Mercury.
Anything still on? I mean, anything been posted on YouTube?
Yes, there are some things on YouTube.
So Frank Payne, Mercury.
I can send you things too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, Frank. Right. So again, the name slower. Frank.
Frank Payne. P-A-N-E though. See,
Frank
because
Payne.
I'm like full-blooded Italian.
Yes.
And it's
yes.
Pane, which is bread.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, did you know this is Rotella's 100th anniversary? I understand. I think it's today. I grew up with Rotella family.
That's so funny. All right, Marianne. So you grew up around a lot of music, and you have a memory of your dad and the music he liked. Because it was all, you know, a lot of the operas and things like that. But Sinatra.
Oh, my God.
And you picked out Something Stupid, Nancy and Frank Sinatra.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think people have paid as close attention to her voice and the quality of her voice as it is. And I think that song, the two of them together, the way they harmonize, and the beauty of a father-daughter duet like that is something exceptional. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever sing with your dad?
Oh, I never sang with my dad.
No.
No, I couldn't. I couldn't go there. Mo, you don't want to hear my singing voice.
Something Stupid, Frank Sinatra, and Nancy Sinatra. It's our Boomer Sit-In today with Marianne Vaccaro on the Boomer Radio Network.
I know I stand in line until you think you have the time to spend an evening with me. And if we go someplace to dance, I know that there's a chance you won't be leaving with me. Then afterwards we drop into a quiet little place and have a drink or two. And then I go and spoil it all by saying something stupid like I love I can see it in your eyes that you despise the same old lies you heard the night before. And though it's just a line to you, for me it's true and never seemed so right before. I practice every day to find some clever lines to say to make the meaning come true. I think I'll wait until the evening gets late and I'm alone with you. The time is right, your perfume fills my head, the stars get red and oh, the night's so blue. And then I go and spoil it all by saying something stupid like I love you. Time is right, your perfume fills my head, the stars get red and oh, the night's so blue. And then I go and spoil it all by saying something stupid like I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Something stupid. And that is Nancy and Frank Sinatra. Our Boomer Sit-In today with Marianne Vaccaro, fashion designer. And your father, obviously a very trained voice. And Igor's working on something. Hopefully we can find something from your dad.
Really?
Yeah, we'll see if we can find it. But so anyway, you'd mentioned Frank Sinatra. You met Frank Sinatra? Is that right?
First, I want to say my dad's best song was When I Lost You. You know, I mean, and that song is so remarkable. It's with the strings and all that kind of stuff recorded in Chicago. It's beautiful, but I don't know if you can find that one.
Yeah, we'll look. We'll
okay,
look when
Frank Sinatra. How did I meet Frank?
Yeah.
Is that what you want to know?
Yeah, unless you want to save it for later in the show, and we'll just tease it. It's
okay,
up to
well,
you.
We can save it. We can save it.
Oh, you want to save it? All right.
Yeah, we can save it.
Let's do this. So you're talking about your dad, mm-hmm. and he was visually impaired.
Right.
And he came back from California expecting a career. He'd already signed contracts in Hollywood, but came back because his father had passed away.
Right.
Then what did he do?
Oh, he took over my grandfather's bar. That's what he had to do, and ended up having a bar business the rest of his life. But always singing on the side.
What was the bar? What was the bar's name?
Frank Payne's.
Oh, of course.
Frank Payne's, then Frankie Payne's.
Okay.
And but you know, like I said, he always entertained mm-hmm. on the side, mm-hmm. and I grew up with that. And you know, sometimes I knew he'd do it for nothing, and I think, Dad, why are you doing this? And it was like, you don't well, now he knows I do understand.
Right.
When you have something you love, you do it from your heart. You are not doing it for dollars.
Yeah.
And that's the way it was with him.
Well, I love this story. There was a jukebox in the bar, full of 45s.
Always.
I wonder what happened to those 45s when they came out of the machine.
We got them. That's right. See, there was always music playing in my house.
What did you play them on? What did you play them on?
Oh, record players.
I mean, what kind? What'd you have? I mean, did you have one of those big giant consoles, you know?
I don't remember. I remember an Emerson, and I remember, you know, I mean, things like that.
All right.
We had simple record players. You know, I came from 27th and Leavenworth. We didn't have a lot of money. We had a lot of music, a lot of love, and a lot of faith in my family.
Any favorite songs that came out of the jukebox?
Oh, gee, I don't know. Oh, I liked a lot Elvis
stuff.
More Elvis, sure.
Uh-huh. Mm,
Elvis puts feeling in his music. Mm-hmm.
Your first album, then?
Well, you know, it's Fabian Rockin' Hot. I was 11 years old, and I had to have an emergency surgery for something I almost died of. And my father, now, speaking of music, there was a record distributor whose building was next door to my father's bar. And my father knew that I, as an 11-year-old, was in love with Fabian. I mean, and so when I came out of surgery in the hospital, there was my father with the Fabian album for me. So, I mean, that's a beautiful story.
Yeah, a great story.
You know, I didn't care about Fabian for his music. It was just he was so handsome with that dark hair and those bright blue eyes. And I had to, you know, I had to have the Fabian album.
Oh, a little tiger here?
Yeah, like a tiger.
Little tiger.
Home, you better beware. I'm going
Like a Tiger and Fabian on the Boomer Radio Network here. Boomer Sit-In with Marianne Vaccaro with us. I wish everybody could see your face while that was playing. You were just lit up. That takes you right back to being 11 again, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, it does.
Do you still have any of those old records?
I have them all.
You still have that one?
I still have Fabian in my front hall closet.
Really? Yeah,
now it should be near my stereo, but you know, I don't listen to it that often.
Do you listen to vinyl still?
Sometimes, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sometimes.
Oh, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you've met some amazing people in your career. We want to get into some of those stories, like Sonny and Cher and Louis Prima and Keeley Smith, too, because she's just an amazing voice.
Oh.
And I'm trying to think who else. Oh, the Dave Clark Five, the Rolling Stones. Wow, we're just getting started. It's our Boomer Sit-In today, and it is with Marianne Vaccaro, and it's brought to you by Omaha's Water Store, 103rd and Fort. Check them out. They have a free gallon of water waiting for you. You just tell them Boomer Radio sent you.
Boomer traffic.
We have a 144th and Center. That's an accident with injuries that has just come in, so be aware of that. Back with more of our sit-in next. It's the Boomer Radio Network, and Boomer sit-in today with Marianne Vaccaro, fashion designer from right here in Omaha, and grew up. Where'd you go to? We didn't even talk about where you went to school.
I went to St. Peter's Grade School on 27th and Leavenworth,
yeah,
which was like two blocks from my house. And then I went to Central High School.
Okay.
And after that, Minneapolis College of Design. But then I transferred and finished at UNO.
Okay. All right. Did New York ever come calling for you?
Oh, New York was my dream from the time I was a child, and I lived my life pretending I was there. And I've been to New York many, many times, each time thinking I was going to live there forever. In 1990, I actually was there a good part of the year, and I did have a showroom right on 7th Avenue, and I did sell to stores. But you see,
it's just a different life, though, isn't it?
Well, it's too expensive to run the business.
Yeah.
And unless you have somebody with millions and millions of dollars behind you.
Mm-hmm. But your roots are here.
My roots are here and family's here and family's
Omaha.
First.
You're an Omaha girl.
It's a blessing that I'm here. I love, and you know, I keep this, in my fitting room, I have a little sign that says, good clothes connect good people. And I believe that through what I have done, and I know it's because I do it at a level of quality and coming from my heart, mm-hmm, that the finest people I could never have known otherwise have come into my life. And I love them all. Yeah. I don't have anything bad to say about anybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That almost, let's go a little different direction than what we thought we were going to go. Because
sure,
you've brought it up. Who have you designed for? Who have you fitted? Who are some of those that we would know?
Oh, in Omaha?
Well, I know the big stars.
Oh, not a big star, but you know, I would like have a customer here in Omaha who would say, you know, I have a friend in Beverly Hills who's so and so, and when she comes here, she's looking for, you know, she always wants to know, can I bring her? Yes. And then it would be somebody who, like, I knew had a chain of clothing stores, and I was making her clothes for her son's bar mitzvah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just like that. That would be the way it would be.
Yeah.
You know, Callan Pinkney, the exercise guru. I did her clothes, and I'd do her clothes when she would like go to England to meet the Queen. Mm-hmm. And I'd think to myself, here I am, 27th and Leavenworth, and I'm telling this New York woman, I'm dressing and making her clothes to go meet the Queen.
Isn't that amazing?
And I did do something for Joan Rivers, you know, for the Tonight Show when she used to wear designer's clothes.
Uh-huh.
Joan Rivers was very nice. I mean, she was so nice in person, you know, and maybe this is where we come to Frank. Is this what we talk about?
If you want to talk about Frank, sure. Yeah. You want to talk about Frank in Vegas.
So
sure.
I just love Frank. I love swing music.
Frank Sinatra.
There we go. Okay. Well, anyway.
For Marianne, it's just Frank. So, but for the rest of us, it's Mr. Sinatra. Okay.
So what happened is it was through Keeley Smith that I came to know Frank Sinatra because...
And Keeley Smith with Louis Prima.
Sam Butera and the Witnesses, all of them. They all... Okay. Well, anyway... I love Keeley Smith so much that in 1992, I was bound and determined to find her because she wasn't performing at all then. And I found out through somebody in Palm Springs who she was then married to. And I looked him up. I found him. He was performing in a club one night. And I asked a page and they said, well, he's performing. And I said, well, I can hold.
You were calling on the phone.
I was calling on the phone. This was like in 1990. It was early 92. And I held for 20 minutes and this man comes to the phone and I tell him I'm Marianne Vaccaro in Omaha and that I get the chills when I hear Keeley's voice. And I'm telling him how much I love Keeley. And he said, you know, honey, I'll tell you, if you call her and tell her how you feel about her, that'll make her day. Here, I'm going to give you my home phone number. And he did. And that's how wow. Keeley and I became friends.
Wow.
And then Keeley told me when she would be performing, because she was opening for the first time back with Sam Butera and the Witnesses at the Desert Inn, and I went to the opening show.
Yeah.
And at that opening show, I just walked in the room, I just sat down, and next to me on my right was Frank Sinatra Jr. On my left was the comedian Dennis Miller. And behind me was were other people. There was Connie Stevens. There were all kinds of people in the room. They were all like celebrities there to hear Keeley open. And one thing that was really funny is Sam Butera was playing Night Train. And after he finished, I heard a voice yell right from behind me, "Sam is God." And I turned around and it was Ed McMahon. It was like, oh my God, what am I doing in the middle?
Yeah.
And actually, I talked with Frank Jr. through the whole night and everything. Well, all the people at the Desert Inn then came to know how crazy I was and what my connections were with all these people. And I would go back. I went back once a month every month to hear Keeley's show.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the shows was in sync with when Frank would be there performing. So they made an arrangement for me to be in the same pod that Frank was going to be staying in.
Mm-hmm.
And they were closing the elevators. And they wrote all of this down for me. And they said, now you're going to be sitting right here after the show. This is the time he comes in. We're going to have a sign. There's going to be a guard there, but we're going to have a sign that says this door is closed, you know. But you will be there. And I said, okay, fine. So I had sent Frank flowers. I had sent all this stuff. I know, it was just crazy. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, Frank is coming. Oh my God, what am I going to say? So Frank Sinatra walks in and I'm just standing there and I leap and I say, Frank, it's me. It's me, Marianne Vaccaro. You know, I sent you those letters about how much I love you and how much I appreciate you and everything. And I was so dumbfounded. He walked up to me within 1 inch of my nose and I thought, oh my God, he's going to kiss me. And he looked at me and he tilted his head to the right and he said, where's the bar? I just sat down and thought, well, I got the best story. I mean, really, it is a good one. Oh, it is a good one.
That is good. Well, you mentioned Keeley Smith and what a big fan you were.
Oh,
her.
I love Keeley.
And she recently passed away. What, just
not too long ago.
Not too long ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you have on your song list Louis Prima and Keeley Smith.
Old Black Magic. I mean, I have everything of hers, but Old Black Magic, the two of them in their high time when, like, my mm-hmm. cousin Subby Anzaldo was going to Vegas, you know, Subby the Music Man.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, he'd get me into anything I wanted.
All right. Louis Prima and Keeley Smith. That Old Black Magic. Boomer sit in today with Marianne Vaccaro on the Boomer Radio Network.
Old Black Magic has me in a spell.
Old Black Magic that you weave so well.
Those icy fingers up and down my spine.
The same old witchcraft when your eyes meet mine.
Same old tingle that I feel inside.
And then that elevator starts its ride.
Down and down I go.
Round and around I go.
Like a leaf caught in a tide.
I should stay away, but what can I do? I hear your name and I'm aflame.
Flame! Burn the desire!
That only your kiss.
Put out the fire! You're the lover I have waited for.
You're the mate that fate had me created for. And every time your lips meet mine.
Baby, down and down I go. Round and round I go. In a spin. Loving the spin I'm in. Under the old black magic called love.
Oh, in a spin. Loving the spin I'm in. Under the old black magic called love.
Loving the spin I'm in,
under the old black magic called love. I should stay away, but what can I do?
You're the lover I have waited for.
You're the man that fate had me created for. And every time your lips meet mine,
baby, down and down I go, round and round I go, in a spin, loving the spin I'm in, under the old black magic called love.
Ah, in a spin, loving the spin I'm in, under the old black magic called love. Spin, love the spin I'm in, under the old black magic called love, under the old black magic called love.
Louis Prima and Keeley Smith on the Boomer Radio Network. Now, working that old black magic, and a favorite there of Marianne Vaccaro, fashion designer from Omaha, and that was an amazing story you told about meeting Keeley. I wondered if you knew what a stalker was, the way you
but, you know, I know what a stalker is. I am not a stalker.
You're not a stalker. Okay.
I am just a person who's full of appreciation. So by the time I reach somebody I want to express my appreciation to, I feel like, I'll be fine. I've never even asked for an autograph.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That, you know, and have Frank Sinatra 1 inch from your nose. Not many people have that story.
Right. He did have a guard on each side
of
him, but, you know, and it was just funny. That's why. Oh,
All right. Coming up with Marianne Vaccaro, we still have to find out how she met the Rolling Stones. And she was at the Civic Auditorium, I believe, in 1964 for a rather big concert. And we'll get to that story.
Okay.
We're
going
to get to that story. Marianne wants to tell it right now. This is so fun. All right, it's a Boomer sit-in today with Marianne Vaccaro, fashion designer from Omaha. Some great stories here. Let's take a look at Boomer traffic real quick, big voice guy. Can you do that? Yeah, right there.
Boomer traffic.
Thank you. And we still have that situation that's in the cleanup stages. It was an injury accident at 144th and Center. Very busy intersection there. And we'll check traffic again in a couple of minutes and more with Marianne Vaccaro next. Today's sit-in is brought to you by Omaha's Water Store, 103rd and Fort. It's the Boomer Radio Network, and a sit-in today with Marianne Vaccaro. And if you're just joining us, Marianne is a fashion designer here in Omaha and has designed, made a huge amount of experience there and had a store in New York City for a time. Her father was a tenor? Was it tenor?
Yes, he was.
And in Hollywood, signing contracts, and then his father passed away, your grandfather, and he had to come back and never really came back. And then ran Frankie Payne's, the bar. And then you started your career at age 5 with a treadle sewing machine, that was your grandmother's.
That's
and you
right.
actually made your own clothes.
Well,
or helped.
I helped until I could make on my own.
You went to kindergarten.
I wasn't making on my own until I was like in 7th and 8th grade.
Okay. All right.
And it didn't matter. I think they looked disastrous, but my parents were so encouraging that they got better with time.
It's just a great story. And it went to Central. When did you start working at Brandeis? Because Brandeis, for anybody that was into fashion at all, that was kind of the place to work back then.
Well, I started at Brandeis when I was 15 years old. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what I have is work memories, music-wise, and high school memories. They're about the same thing. I was on their fashion board, and then I ended up working in the store itself. And I worked in women's sportswear, and I worked in the security office and in personnel. And I came to know everybody in the store, because then once you work in the offices, and you see, I could draw. And because I could draw, like the president of the store and all those people, they'd come to me, they'd say, go find that girl who can draw and she'll do cartoon of the guy downstairs, you know. So I came to know everybody.
Yeah.
And yet going back to being on the fashion board and being in high school, it was Brandeis. And it was Elaine Jibenis who was the fashion coordinator, you know, the famous mm-hmm. Elaine of Omaha.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, they would bring in celebrities for promotions, and they are the ones who brought in Sonny and Cher. I also met James Brown, because they brought James Brown in for a concert on 10th floor downtown Brandeis when I was in high school for a Saturday morning concert. And it was to bring high school kids in, and then the kids would shop in the store. And James Brown was there, and you could just meet him. So, I mean, there was no effort on my part to get to meet James Brown.
That's Incredible. And, the budget they must have had, it had to be huge.
Oh, geez. And that, but I don't know if Starz charged as much as they do today.
Probably,
you know?
Probably not.
And then Sonny and Cher, I don't remember when it was in the 60s. I think it was mid-60s, honestly. Brandeis brought them in and they performed at the Civic Auditorium, and it was actually a dance along with their performance. I don't know if anybody out there remembers it, but if we were on the fashion board, we were all able to be down on the floor with them. And so it was like, yeah, there's Sonny and Cher. Hi.
Hi, Cher. That's right.
So it was comfortable. Uh-huh. You know, it wasn't like it even, the whole thing of you're a celebrity, I'm not, was removed from the whole situation.
Yeah.
And that was Sonny and Cher.
Sonny and Cher. Yeah, I got you, babe.
I got you, babe.
Boomer sit in today with Marianne Vaccaro on the Boomer Radio Network.
Well, that's true, 'cause you got me, and baby, I got you. Hey, I got you, babe. I got you, babe. They say our love won't pay the rent before it's earned, our money's all been spent. I guess that's so, we don't have a plot, but at least I'm sure of all the things we got. Babe, I got you, babe. I got you, babe. I got flowers in the spring. I got to wear my ring, and when I'm sad, you're a clown, and if I get scared, you're always around. Don't let them say your hair's too long, 'cause I don't care, with you I can't go wrong. Then put your little hand in mine, there ain't no hill or mountain we can't climb, babe.
Got you, babe. Sonny and Cher on the Boomer Radio Network. A memory for our Boomer sit-in today, Marianne Vaccaro, when they were at the Civic Auditorium, compliments of Brandeis, back in the late 60s. And, you know, hey, Cher. Hi, Sonny. How you doing? That's had to be pretty cool. Just be right there on the floor with them and have them walk by. And sure. Oh, we have a call here. Somebody, David, said he wants you to tell the story of when you went to the airport to... Well, it says here to greet the Beatles, and you were the only person there.
No, that was not the Beatles.
It was not the Beatles.
No. This is a story. I hope this is the one, because I got a couple of them. But what happened is, I was at my girlfriend's house, Linda DeBias.
And about what time period?
How old were you? This was 1964.
Okay, so
we don't want to do the numbers, but I can just say seventh grade. Okay.
And what happened
is we were watching TV. And we knew that the Rolling Stones were coming to Omaha for a concert, but we didn't like the Rolling Stones. We were Beatle fans. I loved the Beatles, so I wasn't going to show up at any Rolling Stones concert. And so we were watching TV and we saw that they were going to be arriving. And I looked at Linda and I said, Linda, do you know what that means? I bet they'll be on Dance Stand before they go. Dance Stand was Johnny Ray Gomez. Dance show that was very much like American Bandstand.
I'm sorry. You're saying that and you saw my eyes wander out to the... We have a picture of that out in our in the 402 Vinyl Lounge out there, and I'll show it to you.
But you don't have me that day.
Johnny Ray Gomez with the Rolling Stones.
Honest to God?
Yes.
Here's Johnny Ray Gomez. So what happens is... I told you we lived on 27th and Leavenworth. I said, "Oh my God, we'll run over to Channel 7 and we'll be over there." Mm-hmm. So Linda and I run over. Now as we're leaving her house, her brother was painting her front porch. So we don't know this. We dash out the front door and we fall down the front steps. So we have white paint all down the back of us and on our shorts and down the back of our legs. And we run up to Channel 7 and we get there and we are the only two people there. And a limousine pulls up and Mick Jagger and all of them get out, you know, with such an air of aristocracy and attitude and all this. And we're like, hi, hi. And we looked at each other like, what do we do? Do we scream? We didn't have anything to ask for autographs. And we're standing out there and somebody comes and gets us and says, come on into the show.
Oh, man.
Well, there we are in the show and we're standing, walking backwards because we don't want anybody to see the paint up the backside of our legs. And we're actually in the midst of Dance Stand that's going on at the same time.
With Johnny Ray Gomez. Oh, man.
We did not go to the concert at the Civic Auditorium, but... We know because we, you know, knew the people who promoted them. There were only about 300 people at that concert in all of Omaha and the surrounding area in 1964. That was their first tour, I think, in the United States.
Mm-hmm. So there wasn't a lot of this going on then.
No.
Okay. No. All right. None of that.
No.
But you met the Rolling Stones.
Dave Clark Five comes after that.
Put that on your resume. All right. We got to hear the Dave Clark Five story. That's coming up next. Boomer Sit-In today with Marianne Vaccaro, fashion designer. And if you missed any of it, you can catch it on our podcast page at myboomerradio.com.
Boomer traffic.
Still have injury accidents in the cleanup stage at 144th and Center. And Nick, is that the only accident right now that we're working on? Westbound Harrison at 177th now. That accident has come in. And the Boomer sit-in today is brought to you by Omaha's Water Store at 103rd and Fort. It's Boomer Radio and a sit-in today with Marianne Vaccaro, a fashion designer, and have met many, many people of significance. Sonny and Cher, James Brown, Frank Sinatra, Keeley Smith, the Rolling Stones. There's one on here that you have on your list we haven't talked about yet, the Dave Clark Five.
Okay. Well, I was in eighth grade then, and it was a day in December, and I knew that Dave Clark Five was coming, and they were going to do a concert downtown. So I went over to my cousin, Susie Grandinetti's house, and I said, Susie, let's tell our moms we're going downtown, and we'll get all dressed up, and we're going to meet the Dave Clark Five. And she said, okay, Mayor, and I'm, you know, whatever. So I got all dressed up. I had this coat with a raccoon collar to look older. We had to look older, you know. Uh-huh. And my mother had a pair of green lizard spike-heeled high heels that fit me. So I had her shoes on. I had a sheath dress on. You know, I mean, everything was about what we were going to wear. Okay, so, you know, like I said, we lived close to the television station and everything. So we knew, I think they were on Dance Stand too. We knew they'd be on Dance Stand. Mm-hmm. So we walked to the television station and it was kind of a snowy day and it was miserable and I was ruining my mother's shoes, killing my feet. We get to Dance Stand, come on in, girls, you know, and there we are. And we met all of the Dave Clark Five and I actually got their autographs, but I don't have them anymore. Mm-hmm. And after that, I said to Susie, well, you know, they've got to be staying at the Fontenelle. Let's go see them there. So we get to the Fontenelle Hotel in the lobby that was downtown, you know, like on 17th mm-hmm. and Douglas. And the lobby is full of people. And I said to Susie, oh, you know, we're gonna get around this. I'm gonna get to their room. And she said, Marianne, you can't do that. And I opened a door, and it was this all steel inside fire escape. And I said, wait for me. And I walked up to the very top floor, and I opened the door, and I was in the room of the saxophone player who was getting dressed. I was so stunned. I didn't know. I was just like, I just thought I was going to be open to the door to some hallway. And there is this guy standing there, and he catches a view of me in the mirror. And a police officer comes and grabs me by my raccoon fur collar and says, young lady, all the way down. And and he listened as I, you know, the spike heels were making the noise with each step until I got down to the first floor. So it was like, you know, there are ways to get to whoever you want. And sometimes you just stumble into them.
Oh, that is so funny.
That was crazy. That
Let's talk about ballroom dancing. You like to ballroom dance?
I love ballroom dancing. And, you know, it's not that I'm that great, but, you know, it gives you a completely different appreciation for music because you coordinate your movements with a tempo and you learn what dance goes with what song. Like I was listening to, I was listening to It's Now or Never Elvis today. And I was thinking that is like the sexiest cha-cha. You can turn it into a rumba. I mean, until you've studied ballroom dancing, you don't know things like that. You don't know what's good for swing. And, you know, sometimes you look at people who are ballroom dancers and you think it's old fashioned, but trust me, they're out there and they're loving it and they're feeling it. And I mean, it's just terrific.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ballroom dancing. So do you ever do disco at all? Any disco dancing?
Hollywood disco every Saturday night. yes, Hollywood disco. We love Hollywood disco.
Oh, man. You have a song on here that might lend itself to that.
Yeah, well, there are a few that were, you know, I love, what was Gloria Gaynor's?
Mm-hmm.
What was that
I
one?
Will Survive.
I Will Survive. I love that. But there's a real special one that, you know, we got to pull him up. I know who you're going to pull up now.
Uh-huh. Well, go ahead and introduce it.
Oh, yeah. Well, first, last, and everything, Barry White.
Oh, yeah. You can dance with Flat Elvis if you like. He loves the ballroom dance. Yeah.
I will.
Ballroom Dancing with Flat Elvis and our Boomer sit-in today, Marianne Vaccaro. You guys danced well together, Marianne. Very nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Well, yeah, Flat Elvis is a good dancer, too.
Yeah, that's right. Very nice. It's been such a treat listening to these songs with these fabulous headphones today.
She's getting the full radio effect here.
Oh, I love it.
Marianne, this hour has gone by so fast, and here we are at the end already. We'll have to see if we can have you back again sometime.
I'd love it.
We'll see if you can do that. You have so many great songs on your list we didn't get to, but you have one in particular that we definitely wanted to get in, and it's Aretha Franklin.
Aretha, respect.
Yeah. You know, and this happened to tie in with your first car story. What was your first car?
Well, you asked Falcon. Ford Falcon.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I used to pick up, I'd have my sister and a couple of my friends I'd pick up. I was always the driver, and we'd listen to R-E-S-P-E-C-T because, of course, you know, like, we lived by that. My father, you know, when we'd go out and any place, respect. I'm from an Italian family. What is it? Respect. That's, you know, love and respect. And my father was always, you respect yourself and you respect everyone else and you respect everyone else's property. Mm-hmm. And so Aretha's song, Respect, is about all those things that are so important in our world to all of us.
And more so today.
Too many people have forgotten that.
Yeah.
And all these songs are about love. Mm-hmm. And they're about caring. And that's what music's supposed to be about.
Yeah. And that's going to wrap it up today for the sit-in with Marianne Vaccaro. Wonderful hour.
Thank you. I love being here.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
And I, you know, like we say, you keep booming, my friend.
I will.